Hello, dear Hank and John listeners. I'm still all alone. Mostly, I have no reason to talk to my brother. I know that I could call him, but why would I? Because usually we have a podcast that we record together, and that's when I call him. But now I don't have that excuse. And so here I am, feeling lost and alone in the waves cast about by the desperation of, you know, existing mostly on the social internet in 2019. This is, however, a real life thing that happened in the real world. And we did that in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where there were many excellent questions from our listeners. What a fun time it was. We're going to do more live shows soon. A note, though, this podcast got cut off at the end, and I don't know why. But before the outro, there's going to be the whole podcast. So that's going to start right now.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to Dear Hank and John.
Or as I prefer to think of it, Dear John and Hank.
It's a podcast where two brothers answer your questions, give you dubious advice, and also quiz each other in true-false questions because we don't really know what the news from AFC Wimbledon and Mars is this week. We've been too busy. John.
I know the news from AFC Wimbledon. Sure, they tied 1-1 against Accrington Stanley. It's a humiliation.
I'm very sorry to hear about that. John.
Yes.
Did you hear that the mayor of St. Paul made large soft drinks illegal?
I think I know where this is going.
Now you have to get a mini soda.
No. No. Don't. Don't applaud.
I mean,
it encourages him.
The biggest thing about like them applauding right now is that you have to have heard that joke.
Yeah. Well, the only reason they haven't heard it is because it's not called soda here. As a fellow resident of the Middle West, I feel like it's my obligation to stand up for pop. Both as a description of fizzy drinks, as well as in general for pop culture, which
All right.
I feel has been greatly maligned by those people who don't live in flyover country. And meanwhile, we get to like properly and unironically enjoy lots of wonderful art that is made for people, which I just think is great. Like Old Town Road is a great song, and if you don't agree with me, I'll fight you. Like I'm. I will bring it.
We're not having any fights at our live events. That's not the kind of show this is. We're not the kind of YouTubers we are.
Hank, you're absolutely right. But after the show, dude, meet me out back. We'll have a dance off. Go West Side Story on it. All right, let's answer some questions from our listeners.
You have all of them.
Oh, good. That's how I like it.
You have not handed me my questions.
All right, our first question. So we're gonna answer some of the questions that you submitted either on these pieces of paper or by emailing us in advance of the show. Our first question comes from AJ. Oh, an important thing about this is that we had people submit the songs that they would like to play when the ambulance is taking them to the hospital rather than a siren. This is my $1 million idea. I think that everyone should be able to submit a song that they wish to have played as their siren song. It's called Siren Songs. That's the name of the
That's
business.
New.
That's the name of my business.
Came up with that.
Siren Songs LLC, sirensongs.com, sirensongs.biz. I've got the whole thing locked down. Every time you update your medical information, you can also update your siren song if your music tastes change, etc. So AJ's ambulance song, or siren song, is Praying by Kesha, both because it would help me get some much-needed spiritual energy, and because that song's high note is essentially an actual ambulance siren. And AJ writes, Dear John and Hank, if traditional investment seems a little iffy at the moment, what are some unconventional but excellent investments we can make now in order to survive a financial downturn? Dubious advice is especially welcome.
John,
that's the only kind we got, AJ. Yeah.
Especially in this particular circumstance, I've got a little bit for you. What if Siren Songs takes investment?
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna grow so fast and then we're gonna sell to Universal Music Group. I don't know. Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. It's a great investment opportunity. So that's one, obviously. I would say the biggest investment opportunity that's out there right now is owning 2 or 3% of a third-tier English soccer club called AFC Wimbledon. We are looking for what Hank earlier referred to, I thought rather smartly, as people with docks. If you've got a dock,
John's got a soccer team to sell you.
I know,
big doc.
AJ, there's a lot of kinds of investment, right? Like, there's the kinds of investment that will give you a financial return. Those are not interesting. And then there are the kinds of investments that will give you an emotional return. Those are interesting. And that's why you should put all of your money in AFC Wimbledon. Every dollar. Empty out your 401k. Bet big. Go hard.
Also, if there's anything actual to take out of this, it's always good to invest in yourself if there are things that you can do, whether that's taking new skills, like getting skills that you didn't have before, trying things out on your own, working with people, going to school. Going to school during a recession is great. It's sort of the thing to do. You don't want to graduate into a recession, but it's great to just be in school during one.
I graduated into a recession, and it was kind of unpleasant for, yeah. Not recommended. Also, please remember that, things are going to be fine. Most things are not going to be fine in the long run, obviously.
For you as an individual.
Or for the species. But and things are also not going to be fine in probably in like the short run. But there is a medium run in which things are going to be fine.
How long will it be?
Nobody knows.
We got another question. It was written in crayon, and it does not appear to have a name. No, it does have a name.
It's from Adam.
It's from Adam. And it says, first it says, I dislike cream cheese at the top, but then it's been scratched out. I dislike cream cheese. No, I don't want to ask that. Instead, Adam has asked, do I really need to change my underwear every day?
And Adam, I'm going to guess at your age. Either you're like 26. Or you're like 7.
Great handwriting either way.
And
we don't want to know any more specifics about Adam because this is why we don't have last names on the cards.
The answer to your question, Adam, is if you're 7, you change clothes as often as your parents tell you to. And I know my kids listen to the pod, and I'm not looking to introduce nuance into the question. Of how often it's necessary to change one's underwear.
Uncle Hank here. You should change.
Don't do this.
Your underwear as often as your parents say, but you don't need a new pair of underwear every day.
No, Henry, Alice, change your underwear every day. Look,
and if you're
here's my underwear changing policy. I'm just gonna lay it all on the table. Err on the side of caution, which is also my overall worldview.
Sure. I can't tell you how often I change underwear, John. It's not entirely clear to me.
Oh my God. Oh, I want to go in a time machine, but the only thing I want the time machine to do is to take me back right before that moment.
It's only a few
have another question.
People that know about that.
We have another
it's
question.
Fine.
We have another question. We have another question.
And then everybody who listens to the podcast when it comes out.
We have another question. This one comes from Stacy, whose ambulance song is Tonight, Tonight by the Smashing Pumpkins. Oh. It's a bold choice, Stacy.
Yeah, before the buildup, everybody's just going to be like, what do you want me to do? Go to sleep?
Right, yeah, nobody's going to get out of the way of Tonight, Tonight.
Yeah.
Dear John and Hank, while going through the self-checkout line at some stores, you are asked at the kiosk to select if you brought your own bag, and you can get a very modest discount for doing so. Most of the time when I go through the self-checkout line, though, I'm only purchasing one or two items, like a frozen pizza and a tube of toothpaste.
Let's put it on.
I want to have your life. I don't need a bag. I can carry my purchase out of the store. My question is, can I claim this discount if I opt out by not using a bag at all? Or put another way, am I a bag?
Yeah, no, I mean, we're
That's
all...
it. We don't have any jokes for that answer. Yeah. We just really liked the question.
We're all bags. We're all just bags. Yeah, we're just bags of water. Well, just a big bag of soup.
That's what it made me think about. Like,
we're like
skin encased soup. So like, we are a bag that carries around all of the soup.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something meta about it because we're also a bag that can carry other items.
Yeah,
We're both an exterior and an interior bag. Yeah. And in that sense, I think we might be unique among bags.
Yeah, among the many unique things that humans are unlike anything else. We are also...
We're both kinds of bag.
We're different from any other kind of bag.
But yeah, you're definitely a bag. And if anybody at like Target ever gives you a hard time, I said Target, by the way, because I know that they have their headquarters here. And I'm just desperate for any kind of brand deal with them. If you work at Target and you want to see someone sell their soul, please email me.
2019 mini tour brought to you by Target. Just put it right up
there. The Target tour starring Hank and John Target. I'll change my last name. I'm not above it. We got a lot of money to raise. But yeah, you're good. And if anybody ever gives you a hard time, you just very calmly look at them and say, oh, I took the 5-cent discount because I don't know if you know about this, but I am a bag. And I guarantee you that ends the conversation.
This next comes from Shelby, who asks, what encouragement would you give to a 7th grade English teacher or anybody who works with teenagers who just wants their students to be kind to each other? Well, there's also the little misspelling at the top here, and then Shelby has just written a curse word, an exclamation at the top. I'm like, come on, you're a teacher.
Oh, it might be a little bit of a stressful time, though. You know, back to school, teaching 7th grade, the single most difficult job known to humans.
Yeah. No, I remember being a 7th grader, and if you wanted to make me be a more thoughtful human, you would have a tall order. I don't know that there is a strategy for that would not include things that would not be allowed by the state.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though, Shelby. First off, thank you. I feel like we should always be thanking teachers and librarians for being the most important professionals in our social order, and yet somehow also the least appropriately paid. So thank you. I was in 7th grade. I remember it vividly. It was probably the worst year of my life, and I've had some doozies. And so the thing that I remember about my 7th grade teachers now is that they probably did not feel like they were having a lot of success with me. They probably felt like, oh boy, this is a lost cause and not getting any better through the course of the year. But now I am here partly because of the generosity that they showed me in that year when I felt so alone and so scared and so separate and distant from everyone. And so one of the hard things about being a teacher is a lot of times you don't know the impact that you're having until, ever, because students are ungrateful and never come back and say thank you. But you do have a huge impact, and it's a longitudinal impact. So if you're anything like my 7th grade English teacher, you know, like that person will be somebody I think about as long as I'm able to think. So thanks for doing that work.
Dear Hank and John, this is from Devin, who asks, is it possible there is a two-dimensional being that can only see our movies and drawings, but not us? Do you feel more pressure being the ambassadors to the two-dimensional world?
Imagine what they would think of, like, they would be like, these people are nuts.
Yeah, well, I think if they could see the whole thing, they would also feel the same way.
Probably, but you gotta think, Hank, these are people who, their interaction with humanity is like 30% Law and Order SVU, because that's at least 30% of two-dimensional screen images at any time are Law and Order SVU. They must be like, these people are monsters. And no, like, they're like, thank God we don't have to live in the three-dimensional world. It's horrible.
Yeah, we don't even have veins. I don't know. I'm not clear on how their bodies work. Look, Devin, I feel a lot of pressure to be ambassadors to all sorts of beings. Mostly three-dimensional human ones.
I'm already plenty stressed out about that.
Yeah, I'm stressed out. I'm trying to be ambassadors to all of you right now. There's a lot of you. I'm nervous. I have to pee all the time.
Yeah, There's definitely someone in the audience who's not having fun, and I think about them all the time because, like,
one person said, "Woo, it's me."
I know.
That's I'm that one.
Yeah, I know you're trying, and I'm trying. So we're both in it together. It's just not happening. And I'm sorry. You are, and hopefully there's only one of you. If there's a bunch of you, I'm even more sorry. This next question comes from Maggie, whose ambulance song is "A Little Help from My Friends" by the Beatles. That's good. That's good. That'll get people to clear out of the way. It'll remind people that you're human and that they have obligations to other members of the social order. Good. That's a good strategy, Maggie. She writes, "Dear John and Hank, my fiance and I are in the midst of wedding planning, and we're working on what details are most important to us. At your wedding, what detail made you most feel most special, and what detail did you wish you had not spent so much time on?" So, Maggie, my aunt and uncle are in the audience. My wife's aunt and uncle, actually. But I think of them as my aunt and uncle. I hope that doesn't bother you. And so I have to answer this question in a somewhat circuitous way. But when I arrived at my wedding, the first thing I said was, "Wow, look at all this stuff." Because I played no role. And I would say, no role whatsoever. And so every detail delighted me.
Oh, God.
I felt like I was at a party that had been planned very well by someone else for me, which is the best kind of party.
No one gets that, including me. Wedding invitations, I feel like we spent a lot of time thinking about.
Yeah.
And a lot of money on.
Oh, God, yes.
And every moment of time we spent thinking about them extra resulted in us spending more money. Like, we were somehow convincing ourselves mm-hmm. that it mattered what kind of paper. This was the whole thing.
Super thick.
It was very, and the ink was raised. You could, feel it when you touched it.
Embossed.
No, it was bad. All of it was bad. Not bad. It was fine. It was great, but it was not necessary. That, I think, was the detail that I was like, why? Why did we spend so much time thinking about paper? The thing that I think that was correct to spend the most time thinking about was the playlist.
Oh, I was going to say the marriage. I feel like there should be a rule for, like, every hour you spend wedding planning, you should spend an hour marriage planning.
Yeah, let's actually have a conversation about, like, what this life together for the next 50 years will be like.
Sarah and I had this real weird experience. We did a Catholic engaged encounter. We got married in a Catholic... Whoa, okay, we got a Catholic engaged encounter super fan.
Do they know the story, or do they just know Catholic engaged encounters?
It was really good. It was a really good experience, the Catholic
It sounds like something you would, like, a ride at Disneyland. The Catholic engaged encounter.
It felt like that at times, yeah. But it was in a monastery in Alabama, and we were with other couples from Alabama, and it was a real education. It was just intense. I wept so many times, and... The other guys, like, definitely, like, thought of me as kind of an alien being. I remember at one point, like, another guy was, like, he had his arm around me. And he was like, "Man, I don't know what's going on, but it's going to be all right."
That's like... top Alabama mm-hmm. empathy.
No, that was the equivalent
at the top.
That was the equivalent of him, like, whispering in my ear, "I know your pain, I see it, and I am with you in it."
Yeah.
All right, we got to do a thing where we're going to have a few people stand up. There's a microphone, I think, right there. We're going to have a few people stand up. If we don't say your name, don't stand up. First, we'd like to have the following three people stand up and ask their questions. If you don't mind, ask the question that you submitted, not some weird new question that's going to stress me out. First, we have Lauren, whose song is "Barracuda" by Heart. That's their ambulance song.
I've got one. This one's from Gemma, who is in seat 11E. It's this kind of card, so you don't have a song, sorry.
Yeah, Gemma, if you could come up as well. And lastly, Kelly... whose ambulance song is "If Today Was Your Last Day" by Nickelback.
I love it. I love the bravery in that.
Kelly, that is one of the bravest things that I've ever seen.
Yeah. I love the embrace of the pop.
To go to an internet gathering.
Yeah.
And make it about, I love it. Great. Who's first?
Hi, my name is Lauren.
Hi, Lauren. How's it going?
It's going good. This is awesome.
I know.
What's your question?
Okay, so I work in like customer service at a bakery.
Great.
And I have this problem where people with different accents will come up, mm-hmm. and I will imitate their accent.
Oh.
How do I stop this?
I'm gonna
need an example.
Yeah. So for example.
Okay.
If Steve the Minotaur came in, and was like, "Hello, well, I would like some customer service, please."
I'd say, "Have a nice day." I feel so bad about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and Steve would be like, "It's weird. Are you a Minotaur?"
By the way, if you want to, like, Hank faked a British accent when we were kids for a year.
It was practice.
Imagine living all the time.
It was not that
with Steve.
Bad.
It was that bad.
It was bad. It was not that bad.
We would be at breakfast and you would say, "Pass the butter," but you would say,
"Pass the butter."
Oh, God.
I can't.
It was a very sort of like working class. It was the most ridiculous.
I just thought it was cute. It wasn't.
Warren, this reminds me of one time when my cousins and I went fly fishing, and we had a very rough and burly fly fishing guide, and my cousin Mike introduced himself by saying, "Name's Mike, damn glad to meet you." And we all just looked at him like, "Mike?"
That's not...
We all know. It's a hard thing to do because you start, we're social beings. We like to mimic each other. We like to answer each other. So what I would recommend doing is leaning way the heck into it.
Oh, God.
Going as hard into it as you can. And then when people are like, "Are you from Cardiff?" Being like, "Yes." And just see how far you can
just
go. See how long
go.
It lasts.
Lie your way through it. Other option, instead, like, sometimes I have a hard time remembering what my accent is after talking to somebody with another accent.
Sure.
Just go with a completely new one. Oh. If they're Southern, go Cardiff. Just be from Liverpool, suddenly.
And
because I can't lock back in. Our mom has this problem. It's deep, we don't even want to, it's
deep.
It's going to, we went to the UK with my mom, and she comes back, and she's a Southern lady with this very, very interesting American Southern British accent.
Yeah. Yeah, it was deep. It was weird.
I love her very much, and I know that she listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
She knows.
She knows.
Okay.
We love you, Mom.
We have no solutions for you.
Are you kidding? We solved the problem twice. Thank you, Warren.
We have great solutions for
you. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, I'm the infamous Kelly.
Oh, hi, Kelly.
Yes, hello. So I have a problem I need your help with.
Okay.
My sister and I live in an apartment above a theater. It's a pretty small town, so it's a pretty small theater.
Is it Brainerd?
Say that again?
Is it Brainerd?
It is not, unfortunately. I'm sorry. It's in the opposite direction. Gotta go a little farther south. But I don't know if anyone believes in paranormal stuff, but my sister and I have had some really, really weird experiences happen up there.
Sure.
We called in a paranormal investigation
team. You called in a paranormal investigation team.
They caught evidence.
Were they local?
They were local, yes.
They're like in your small city?
They are in the city next to us.
Oh, okay, great.
Yes.
How big is that city?
Rochester's about 100,000.
Okay, 100,000.
Oh, yeah, no, Rochester's a proper... Rochester's a proper city.
Yes, but that's not my question. My question is, I'm scared easily. There's ghosts up there. How do I deal with them? Do I make friends with them? Do I fight them? Do I yell at them? What do I do with these darn annoying ghosts?
So you live above a theater, that's strike one. Like, immediately you're like, maybe ghosts. We live above a theater.
Most ghosts are above theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, accidents happen, and when they do in a theater, it's very dramatic. It's just definitional. Then strike number two is some things happen. What's a thing that happened?
We heard a man coughing in the bathroom, lights turn on and off, and I have those old shades that you pull down, and they've snapped up a couple times.
Mm. All right, all of those are pretty, that's strike two for sure. Strike three is you call in a paranormal investigation team, and they do the only thing they can do, which is say there's ghosts. Like, do they arrive someplace
very,
and they're
very
like,
rarely
nope,
you get
no
a negative.
Ghosts.
Very rarely you get a negative review.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did provide us with evidence. We have voices from the apartment. My sister has a phrase. She says, "Hey, Chica," all the time. So they caught a voice of a ghost saying, "Hey, Chica," like they're mimicking her.
Ooh, I think maybe you have really smart rats. That have emphysema.
I've heard her.
And they don't like it dark.
Yeah. The thing that you do in this situation is you live with the ghosts that you have to live with while you have to live with them. And then over time, maybe you start to feel more comfortable in the space.
Yeah. But
this is always the case. We are always like carrying with us, whether experiential or not, like we are always carrying with us ghosts. So this is actually good practice for you, because the rest of your life, you will also be constantly haunted by other things. And so the fact that you're learning how to live with this now, I would argue, is good news.
That's great. That's great advice, John.
You're welcome.
My only other piece of advice is, can you get them to pay rent?
It's a big problem.
Yeah.
Big problem with ghosts.
Yeah, they're like, you tell them how much rent is, and they're like, that is enough to buy 45 horses.
Yeah.
Why would I pay that much? I could buy the entire theater for that amount.
Right.
They don't understand inflation, is the joke.
Yeah, no, we got it, Hank. It's great. It's the best inflation joke of the whole night.
Thank you for your
question. Good luck with your ghosts. Gemma.
Hi, yeah, I'm Gemma. So I'm a professional sword maker.
Yeah.
And it's not as cool as it sounds, I promise.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as cool as being a seventh grade teacher, but it's cool.
So I just joined my parents' company. They are also professional sword makers.
Yeah,
multi-generational.
They've been in business for over like 30 years. They're really set in their ways. So my question is, as the new employee, how do I update the image of swords? You know, how do I bring my own sword ideas to the sword company while still respecting the business that they've created?
So we need some big sword ideas. So
this is the best question we've ever received.
Yeah. I don't
know. Not since we got a question from somebody who is a professional Pokemon card player have I been so impressed with someone's career.
So I get the... What?
Great.
You don't have to tell us the name of the business if you don't want to.
It doesn't matter. It's Omega Artworks.
Okay.
Great. Okay, so everybody get your swords from Omega Artworks. They're local.
Please be nice. My mom answers all the emails.
Yeah,
okay,
support...
No.
You know, support your local sword maker. That's what I always say when it comes to sword purchases. You know, if you don't support the local ones, you're just going to end up with just Amazon making your swords.
just the big box swords.
I think the obvious thing here is to try to make them, you know, feel young and hip by incorporating stuff that young people are interested in into the sword itself, a BTS sword, or some kind of... A TikTok sword.
Yeah, there used to be swords for specific activities, right? There were like special swords for like dueling. So maybe you could make like a dabbing sword.
Oh, I hope nobody got that on tape.
No.
For the listeners at home, I definitely didn't dab.
I don't know. Sword dabbing does seem dangerous, but maybe it's what's coming. Maybe it's what's next. It seems to me it's possible, Gemma, that you have your own ideas. Do you have your own ideas for how to hip up the swords?
I have some ideas. Mostly, like right now, a lot of the sword designs, they really look like they're from the 80s.
You know, 80s
swords. Oh, yeah, I know what 80s swords look like, yeah.
Like at like Conan?
Yeah.
That kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, and you want some that are more like Needle, the sword that Anya Stark
swords.
Uses kind of swords?
Sure, yeah. Contemporary sword looks like, but
yeah,
something.
Well, the cool thing is that over the next like 10 or 20 years, you're going to invent the idea of a contemporary sword.
Yeah, it's your job.
Which is so beautiful. So in the end, I don't think we can help you except to say that you are already going to do this and we are excited to see how it goes. Thank you, Gemma.
Which reminds me, John, that this podcast is brought to you by Omega Swordworks. Omega Swordworks, swords both 80s and modern.
Today's podcast is also brought to you by Target, or at least I would like it to be.
And also, this podcast is brought to you by 2-Day-Old Underpants.
Nope.
2-Day-Old nope. Underpants available.
Nope, 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 nope.
God.
Lastly, this podcast is brought to you by Ghost Inflation. Ghost Inflation, it's real.
And now comes the part of the live show podcast where I ask John true or false questions and then I get to tell him how wrong he is about stuff.
Okay, lightning round, lightning round,
lightning
go, go, go.
Round. Number one, yes. A Texas firefighter who saved a farmer's piglets from a fire received a thank you present 6 months later. It was a package of sausages.
True.
That is true. Number 13, it happened. What? That's why they were saved. Number 13, the Italian dictator Mussolini had his people sell anti-Mussolini publications so that they could make money from dissidents before they arrested them.
That's so good. True.
False.
Dang it.
I've made it all up. Number 14.
You're right. He's too pleased with himself to do that.
The U.S. Navy used to contract with a private defense contractor to produce controls for naval submarines, and they cost tens of thousands of dollars. Now they use Xbox controllers.
True.
True. Number 15, the creator of Fortnite holds the Guinness World Record for owning the most VHS copies of E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
False.
It is false. He does, however, own almost more land than anyone else in North Carolina.
I did know that.
He's a conservationist. It's great. Did someone boo? It's a good, for good reasons. Just for clarity, he bought it to protect it. Number 16. In the 1980s, a marine biologist created an educational comic book called The Intertidal Zone that featured a sponge named Bob, and that marine biologist later went on to create SpongeBob SquarePants.
False.
True!
Today I learned.
Number 17. Many doctors...
What happened to the first 10?
Oh.
You're like, number 11. We're the first 10.
Numbers don't matter.
Okay, clearly. Number 17, go.
Number 42. Many doctors still use beepers in hospitals because they're integrated into software that could cost tens of thousands of dollars or tens of millions of dollars to replace.
100% true.
False. They use beepers in hospitals because hospitals are often dead zones for cell phones.
Oh, okay. Well, I know they still use beepers because Henry's friend's dad carries one.
It beeps.
Yeah.
He beeps sometimes.
He's a cardiologist.
Number 300.
I ask him a lot about my heart, and he says, calm down. I'm not at work. Do I ask you to write me novels?
Number 302. Koalas poop in their sleep.
True?
True. I sang a song about it on Vlogbrothers once.
Oh, I forgot it. We made a lot of videos.
Number 2, in the small town in Michigan where Larry Page grew up, there are hundreds of millionaires because his parents convinced the town that Google would be a big deal.
True.
False, but there is a town in Florida where there are hundreds of millionaires because some guy in the Depression convinced them all to buy Coca-Cola stock. Most of this episode got, but the little bit at the end made it so that I have to record my own outro, so get ready for that. Thank you for listening. This podcast is edited by Joseph Tuna Medish. It's produced by Rosianna Hals-Rojas and Sheridan Gibson. It's a co-production of Complexly and WNYC Studios. Our head of community and communications is Victoria Bongiorno, and the music that you hear at the beginning of the podcast and the end of the podcast is by the great Gunnarola. Thank you, and as they say in our hometown, don't forget to be awesome.